Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. I am your host, Chris Miles, and I was about to say I'm a guest, but you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a guest on my own show, I guess. So, hey, welcome out again today. Welcome to a wonderful episode we got coming up for you today. As a quick reminder, make sure you check out our website, www.moneyripples.com, especially if you've got any questions, things you have for me, or even show topics. I'd love to hear kind of topics you want to have brought up. So be sure to do that. And also, just a shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowners Preservation. If you're looking for great returns and you're making a great difference in people's lives, check out what they have. I mean, awesome stuff that they've got there, awesome fund. And you're helping people stay in their homes or helping people be able to get out of their homes in a way that's fair and equitable. So check out their website, fundingahp.com. That's funding, and then AHP as in alphahotelpapa.com. So today I'm excited to bring on a special guest here, Stephen Gardner. Now, Stephen's somebody actually I've known several years on and off, and actually he's even worked with some of my clients in some great creative non-traditional types of investments, things that go outside of the typical stock market. You know, on a professional level, he's currently a best-selling author of 5 financial books. He's also a financial columnist for Jim Cramer's Investment News, for the Street, that has like 30 million monthly readers. And of course, he's best known for the book A Bridge Over Troubled Wall Street. So obviously, Stephen, I'd love to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss my book and be on your podcast. It's incredible, the information that you share. I just feel lucky to be a part of it today.
Absolutely. We mentioned this book here. Tell us a little bit about your book and why you wrote it.
Yeah, A Bridge Over Troubled Wall Street. I love the book. It's gotten really great reviews. My big thing is I'm not a fan of Wall Street. I think anybody that reads my column or any of my articles or has heard any of my other podcast interviews knows that I'm not a big fan of Wall Street. I'm not anti-Wall Street. I still believe in American industry. I still believe that, things are going to go up, but I also am conscious of the fact that things are going to come down. And so what I've done is researched methods and back channels for finding areas outside of Wall Street. And inside the book, I expose some of the big pitfalls that people have, limited access to opportunities, some of the fees and how those compound and calculate over the course of somebody's career and lifetime. Things that I share in the book that only 6% of Americans know about, self-directed IRAs. Mm-hmm. So, a bridge over troubled Wall Street is basically a concise, just over 100-page book for people that want to know where to stick a portion of their money off Wall Street and get it onto Main Street.
Awesome. I love it. Well, and for those that have listened to our show, I mean, obviously they've heard a lot of different types of investments. They've heard, a lot of different alternatives that Wall Street is definitely not the one size fits all that everybody wants it to be, especially their financial planners and such,
Yeah. Before the 401k was approved by the government and Wall Street and the government got into bed, in my opinion, very, very few Americans had their money on Wall Street. A lot of it was held in banks and even with life insurance companies. But then this ability to tap into the American workforce and come up with a clever way to get them to put their money away and not be able to touch it without some kind of repercussions till they're 59 and a half. It was really brilliant on their part. And so that, you know, you see this huge increase in stock market participation, mutual funds, different things like that. But now we've done such a good job, or I should say they have done such a good job, that many people don't realize that there's still opportunities outside of Wall Street. And so that, I think, that is changing. You know, there's a lot more alternative opportunities coming to light. With the Jobs Act, there was a lot more opportunity to advertise programs that were only available to accredited investors who knew someone who knew someone. You know, so there's a lot more opportunity. Main Street, I believe, is making a comeback. And you know, it's not where you stick all of your money, just like you wouldn't stick all of your money in one place on Wall Street. But the fact that you don't know about it is what's scary. And so that's what we're trying to do, is open people's eyes, whether they work with us or not, just to know that there are other avenues for growing your money other than Wall Street.
Well, you mentioned a number, too. You recently did an article for The Street just back in June, right? And you mentioned about how from 2000 to 2016, the market only averaged 2.4%, which is kind of something we've mentioned in other past episodes as well, of different time frames. It's been different averages depending on when you look, right? So obviously that's not even beating inflation. I mean, that's horrible. You know, tell us more about that article and what you wrote in that article.
Yeah, that was one of my more well-read articles with The Street. And, you know, they were a little bit hesitant about publishing it. They really checked the numbers, four or five times. And even the guy that helps with my publishing, he was like, wow, you know, we're so entrenched in writing the prose of Wall Street that we didn't really look at it this way. And so all I did, it was just very simple, is I went on to all the financial data through Yahoo Finance, and I just looked up, you know, where the market was at in 2000 and where it was at about a year ago. This article's from 2016, but I just ran the numbers, just did the simple math calculations, and I was like, hold on, wait a minute. 2.4 average. Why does Wall Street keep saying 8%? Why, you know, are they, you know, because it's not like, you know, these life insurance products where you're able to cut out the negatives and only show the neutrals or the positives. They don't have that luxury. You know, they have to take into account these 30% drops, 20% drops, 10% drops, you know, whatever the drop is. And once you calculate that in, Chris, you know, your ripplers will see that it was 2.4%, and most
you're talking about 2.4% actual yield, right?
I'm talking about a 2.4 average. Yeah.
Wow. So if you just skew the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So this is an average, and that's before management fees in most cases, and before taxes in almost all cases. I mean, there's Roths and other opportunities out there, but yeah, those are the numbers. You know, you add it all up, divide it by the number of years, and it comes out at 2.4. Mm-hmm. And the NASDAQ was even worse than that. It was just above 1%. You know, this technology pool of technology stuff, 1.13%. So, it was kind of eye opening. And so I wrote about that. But again, they put it under a microscope. They eventually approved the article, and I got a lot of really positive feedback. I had a few negative people, mostly financial planners saying, hey, why are you writing about this stuff?
Always.
But anyway, those are the numbers. Those are the facts, 2.4% over that 16-year period.
Wow. I mean, you pretty much could have done a CD about that period of time, and you probably would have come out pretty similar to that, huh?
Yeah. You could have done that, or you know, maybe locked it away in something like an annuity or something. And I'm not a big fan of annuities, but when it comes to performance, yeah, it wasn't. And that doesn't mean that people that were on Wall Street earned that. You know, there are people that know how to play the game, and they know when to hedge against, you know, when the market's really high, and they sell off and then they wait and then it drops and then they go back into the market really strong and they take advantage of that. But that's not the average person. The average person very much behaves like a human, which is by the time they hear about something, it's already hot, it's already really high, and then they buy. And then when the backlash hits and it drops, they go, oh my gosh, I totally regret this, and they sell. And so they're buying high, selling low, and they're trying to be Warren Buffett, and Warren Buffett's doing just the opposite. He's buying low
exactly.
And then not even selling high. He's just holding forever. But, you know, that's if you can take the human out of it, which most humans can't, then you would be able to perform better. But unfortunately, most of us behave like humans that operate out of fear and reacting versus acting.
Yeah. So I want to definitely go into some investments that you have. But before we do, I want to go back to your story. I want to take a little side tangent here. Tell us about, you know, obviously, because you and I kind of had similar backgrounds. We kind of have this financial advisor type background. What got you to shift? Like, what was your story? Like, how did you go from there to where you are today?
Well, you know, losing 38% of my own money in the stock market was the big catalyst for sure. You know, I had been involved in insurance and some kind of financial planning since about 2003. And I took a small break, worked for this large medical company, and was putting money away pretty aggressively. And then my money dropped by 38%. So I lost my money and what my employer had contributed. And I was like, oh, I did not like that. But the thing I didn't like more was talking to like my parents and people I went to church with and hearing them now either in retirement or on the verge of retiring and hearing that they've lost 30 to 50% of their money. I was like, whoa, I do not want that to happen to me. And I don't want it to happen to people I know. And so that's when I really was like, okay, I've got to really find out what else is out there. And so that's what got me to dig in and do the research and look for opportunities. And you know, there's good investments out there. There's also a lot of really good lending programs. And now, I would say the majority of what I do is built more around lending than investment. Some of that's regulation driven, and some of it is just the fact that lending comes with different parameters and safety precautions. But that's what really pushed me into it was this personal loss and then just seeing the misery around me. And gratefully to this point, nobody that I've recommended go into anything has lost any money, but when you lose your own money, it's a big wake up call. So that's I don't know how close that is to your story. You know, you probably hear as you coach people that story over and over again. I just lived through it, and you can either learn from the past or repeat the same mistake. And I just chose to take it as a learning opportunity and not do that again.
I agree. No, I did have a similar experience. I mean, I came in 2000, just right after 9/11, so when I got into financial advising, and I got out of the traditional financial advising right when the market was heading back up in the mid 2000s, and that's when I realized like, hey, this stuff doesn't work. Like, there's a lot of things that are wrong, and you know, the average, you know, you talk about the average returns and such. Like, I started to get a peek into that, thinking, wait a minute, yeah, those numbers, they're having me do average returns, where, you know, for example, you lose 50%. You know, 1 year, but you gain 100% the next year, you're back to breaking even. However, you know, on the average returns, you're averaging 25%. And so those kind of things I started learning as a financial advisor and realizing, oh crap, like I'm just a salesman in a suit, you know, and I'm just teaching the same thing that they want me to sell because there's big money in keeping people ignorant. There's the huge money in keeping people to, you know, buy the same old mutual funds, same old insurance type products and all those kind of things that really don't serve them the way that they are told they're supposed to. It's a huge overpromise and deliver.
Yeah. Here's the secret sauce of Wall Street. Don't educate your client. That's it. I mean, when you really boil it down, as soon as they educate you, you become a competitor instead of a client. Now,
Right.
You and I are in business. What business model other than being an educator really wants to educate their people? They need that codependent relationship. And so if somebody sat down and really showed you how to make money with Wall Street, mm-hmm. you don't need them. And if they're really right. that good, the average person can't afford you. You know, so
yeah.
That's what it really comes down to. It's the same thing with banks. Banks are not mm-hmm. really educating people on money, because as soon as they do, they'd walk away. I mean, these rates are atrocious, and yet people stick with it because they're just in the dark. And somebody's got to right. shed the light on it. That's why, you know, I recently did a video and just talked about, I think the real success people, the real people out there helping are people like you. And I'm not just saying that because mm-hmm. this is your show. You know that I genuinely believe this, but a financial coach is paid to coach and educate you. That's what they're paid for. They're not paid to push you into products. They're not paid to
right.
Be in the corner of a specific product. It's really just, oh, hey, you want to learn about paying off your mortgage early? Let me do the research and get back to you. Oh, you want to learn about life insurance? Let me do the research and come back with the pros and cons. You want to get into mortgage-backed securities? Let me do some research, or let me find somebody that knows. That's not really happening. It really comes down to, you know, Edward Jones has certain things they want you to push, and you got to push them, or else you're yep. out of Edward Jones. You know, and that's just an example. It could be TD Ameritrade, it could be Merrill Lynch, anybody. They all have their programs that they're trying to push, probably because of kickbacks. But that's what I think it boils down to, you know. So that's where Robert Kiyosaki and I were on the same page. Education, 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 and then let people make their own decisions. That educating is not happening.
Not at all. And I'll tell you, right now it's more dangerous than ever. I mean, we've got people – like you mentioned, like people were saying over and over saying, hey, I've lost a ton of money. You know, people have short-term memory. That was just less than 10 years ago, people were complaining about the stock market. Now, even with people I talk to, very rarely are people saying, well, I don't know if I really want to get out of the market right now. I think I'm actually – it's pretty good. How about the rest of my money that's just sitting in savings or whatever, right? And I'm thinking, like,
yeah.
this is the worst time right now, because now Wall Street's having a heyday with it. They're like, great, it's hot. Everybody wants in, and that's the very time that everybody gets burned too.
Yeah, I just read an article. This just like shocked me. The guy running BlackRock, which is the largest management company right now, I think they're managing like $4.5 trillion or something. But anyway, one of their strategists said on CNBC in the last 24 hours, the problem with the stock market is that people aren't taking enough risk in it right now. There's so much money to be made if they would just take the risk. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, if your paycheck is based on telling people to take risk, you're going to say that. But if it's not driven by that, I think you're going to go, hold on, man, the markets are really high. Remember not too mm-hmm. long ago when people were like, it would be absolutely insane if the Dow Jones went to 20,000 and now we're sitting at 21. You know, and now they're saying, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, it's just going to keep going and going. Nothing goes up forever. We've been in a bull market for 8 years. You know, the bears mm-hmm. are going to come out, and they're going to come out with their claws ready to claw back that money. It just look at the pattern over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
But that just blew my mind. The reason people aren't making more is they're not taking enough risk. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. That's so true. So I want to ask you about some of the things that you do, like some of the things you offer too. I mean, what's some of these alternatives that people have with their money?
Yeah. You know, I can't be too specific without having a private conversation with somebody, but they're just think of it as lending money versus investing money. Okay. So there are real estate lending opportunities where you're going to trade your money in exchange for a contractual rate of return and placement on a title of a commercially owned piece of real estate. So there's something physical backing it. So that's an option are these commercial lending platforms. Similar to acting like a bank. Yeah. So you're going to basically be on a mortgage with other people. And making sure, but there's a contract in place. That's what I like about it. And where there's
right.
a contract, people have to perform or there's breach of contract and now there's legal recourse, right? So there's that. There's debt recovery programs on private lending platforms that people can go into and get a nice return on their money, anywhere from a 1 to 4 year time commitment. There's peer to business lending. So there's these peer to peer opportunities like Prosperous or Lending Club where you can get, you know, middle range, single digit, you know, the consumer can't pay as much as a business, you know, so if you want to up it, then you look at these peer to business lending opportunities. And there's programs out there that have, you know, as short as a 9 month time frame up to a couple year time commitment. But they're going in and people are aggregating their money and then they are lending it out to these businesses that are looking to expand, not looking to cover payroll, but looking to expand. A chiropractor who has two offices looking to open a third one, a dentist that needs a new X-ray machine. An auto mechanic who needs new tools or an auto parts dealer that needs to expand their inventory because they're turning over too quickly. A veterinarian. I mean, there's all kinds of businesses. So with that, you pick up a tremendous amount of diversification because your money is being spread out over hundreds of business loans, multiple industries, time frames, different parts of the country. So that's one that people are really liking is this peer-to-business lending opportunity. And we introduce them, and then you work directly with the company. But those are the nice things that people are liking right now is this idea of having a contract in place, and it's a lending opportunity versus an investing opportunity. So those are the things that people are liking. And the book, A Bridge Over Troubled Wall Street, goes over the real estate side. That book will be going through round two, probably here within the next 90 days to add some educational material about these other programs. But those are the programs that people seem to be leaning towards on their own after being educated on the different opportunities that are available.
That's awesome. Now, I know I'll tell you one big thing I want to point out that's huge. That even if the returns, and I know some of the returns of some of the different investments you have offered, I mean, in some cases, they're even better than some Wall Street or potentially better than some of the Wall Street typical mutual funds, especially on average, right? Definitely better than like the Wall Street and some of those sort of things. And I think what's key is that what you said with the contract, because I'll ask you listeners out there, I mean, with your IRAs or 401ks or whatever retirement plan you have, mutual funds or whatnot, what contract do you have? What recourse can you take if the market goes down? You know, what can you claim on? Do you have any property, quote unquote, any equity you can really make claim on? And the answer is none. You have nothing. You could do nothing. You are a helpless victim. And the sad thing is you're a victim by choice. So really, you're not a victim at all. you just basically locked yourself in prison.
You know, it's crazy. Here's a question I ask people is, okay, so you own all these stocks. You're feeling pretty confident in them. When was the last time they sent you your stock certificates to prove that you really own it? And they're like, oh, never. Like, okay. So you're basically just digital ones and zeros saying in some database that you own this. But you don't really have, you know, like you couldn't walk into a voters meeting. You don't have your certificates or anything. So it's like, yeah, it's like what's really backing this? You know, like I think about like people walking a high wire at the circus and there's nothing below them. There's no safety net. There's no contract. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there. And yet they're out there and they feel like they're an investor. So Chris, I know it's a pretty simple example, but seriously, we have so many people today that consider themselves investors, but what they're really doing is paying, and in some cases overpaying, for someone else to be an investor. So I just love that idea of you can't call yourself a swimmer if you pay someone else to swim for you. You know, and there's a great quote that I'll just paraphrase from Warren Buffett. He says, you know, if you need a tooth filled, you've got probably better off going to a dentist and having a right. dentist work on that. If you are going to have a baby, you are most likely better off going to an OBGYN that knows how to safely deliver a baby and get a baby here. But when it comes to your money, he says, with some education and some involvement, most people are better off doing stuff themselves over mm-hmm. hiring a professional, right? And it comes down to, you know, Tony Robbins said this in his book. He said, if your advisor were any good, you wouldn't have access to him or her, right? Like the really good ones, the Ray Dalios, you've got to have like millions and millions of dollars minimum just to be involved. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that are involved with a guy like that are billionaires, you know? So anyway, it's just, you know, the financial education is really lacking in our country. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have somebody to help walk you through, be a sounding board to bounce ideas off, do the research, you know, just be a partner in this trying to grow your money journey. But just to hand it over blindly, I mean, wouldn't there be more wealthy people from the stock market if it was really working?
Exactly.
I mean, there was a Harvard study that showed that nearly 50% of all stocks are owned by the top 1%, mm-hmm. and that the other 99 own the other 50% or so. You know, so you've got 1% of the population controlling the stock market. And if you take the other 50% and divide it up over the other 99% of the population, you just own so little. It's just, to me, it's like, you know, you showed up to play with the big dogs and you're a chihuahua and you're just not, you know, most people are just not going to make it.
You're standing there shaking, you know, with peeing all over yourself. That's what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great image.
That's awesome. So, Stephen, I mean, obviously you referred to your book, or we refer to your book throughout this podcast. You know, how would people be able to get access to this book of yours?
Yeah. Well, you know, they can always go on Amazon and get it. But for your Ripplers, why don't we give away some copies? If people want to go to my Ooh. Website, yourbridgeplan.com, they can look around, learn a little bit more about me and what I do. But there's also a tab called Work With Me. And if they'll fill in their information, that will send an email to me and my assistant. And we'll send you out a copy of A Bridge Over Troubled Wall Street. If somebody's a doctor, maybe just put in the notes, hey, I'm in the medical world, and we can send you out, doctor, your retirement. It's the same topic, but it's just stories specifically geared towards the medical community. And I pull from experiences of the different doctors that I've helped. But yeah, I would love to get the word out there. Love to help educate people. If there's anything that I can do, let me know. But yeah, that would be a great way for them to get access to A Bridge Over Troubled Wall Street.
Great. So give them the website one more time.
Yourbridgeplan.com. And then there's a tab, Work With Me. They can click on that, yourbridgeplan.com.
Awesome. And we'll put yourbridgeplan.com also in the show notes too, in case they want to just click on the link. But otherwise, go search it, everybody. That's an awesome deal. Appreciate that so much, Stephen, for as that as a little gift for our listeners, just give them an actual book for that. So that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate you having me on your show and being able to discuss this stuff. I mean, I'm very passionate, as you can probably tell from my voice, about this stuff. I just, you know, nobody likes seeing people they like get ripped off and taken advantage of. And so, you know, I may not know you today, but I might know you down the road. If I can help you, I want to.
That's awesome. And I know that's sincere too, you know, knowing you for several years. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being on our show. You've been a fantastic guest, lots of great information. I know that people are probably going to be listening to this not just once, but possibly again and again. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
And for all the rest of you guys, thanks for joining us this week. Be sure to join us each and every week. Tell your friends. Tell everybody that you know will get great info from this, and great, it will just change their life. Please share this as well. So anyways, this is Chris Miles, your host, signing off. Have a great and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.